So we left off with a question. How could Chazal tell us that a person doesn't suffer unless he deserves it? So we mentioned this is a machlokas, whether we say there's suffering without sin. So one possible understanding is, okay, this is going according to that understanding. That Rabbi Yochanan, who interprets the psuk in this way, goes with that understanding. But there are other levels of interpretation. There's room to discuss whether a person is judged as an individual or part of a greater whole. We have this concept of Fesen Zatzal used to mention that when there's judgment, so a person is judged as an individual, as part of a family, as part of a community, as part of a city, as part of a country, as part of the world. Meaning there are different levels of judgment. And if God decrees that the whole world will have a year of plenty, so then sometimes a person gets dragged along. And if God decrees there's going to be World War II, so then sometimes a person gets dragged along. So when we say that bad emanates from sin and good emanates from living a good life, one understanding is, yeah, it's literally that way. You look at the righteous and you say, why are they suffering? You don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. That was one of the claims of Job's friends. Right. Maybe there's something else happening going on here. You want to go Kabbalistic? You could discuss Gilgulim. You could discuss, you think it's only him. You don't know who he was in the previous life. Okay, so then you could say anything, right?
But
one of the points we've been glossing over is the term chet, avon, pesha, meaning ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov velo yechta. But maybe there's tzadik ba'aretz asher lo yaseh avon. Avon is a willful sin. And ein mita belo chet, ein yisurin belo avon. The Gemara doesn't say that for a mistaken sin a person gets suffering. The Gemara says for a willful sin a person gets suffering. So there you run into a question. Does that mean, is avon exclusively a willful sin? Or can avon also be a generalization for many types of sin? So that's a discussion among the Rishonim and others. Okay, so at any rate, we've opened up a Pandora's box, and we haven't closed it, but we have given certain directions of thought, and if you're bothered, then I'm happy. I'm sorry, I don't believe at your age you should leave Jewish philosophy as a simple, oh, that's easy, yeah, live a good life, everything's going to be good, because reality is going to burst in your face. I'd much rather you contend with the questions, realize that there are areas which you still haven't answered, and deal with it. Okay. We have a whole class on Job online. About 65 or 85 classes.
What?
Yes. Go to 123torah.com.
Very good. No, that's torahforme.com.
Okay. Torahforme.com. Yeah.
The same site. Would that be an appropriate thing to do during Shabbat?
100%. Yeah. Just not the end. Just not the end. I don't think so. It's pshat. How much depth is there? It's primarily pshat.
There'd be 85 classes. I got
a ton. So when we deal with too much Jewish philosophy, you'll fast forward. But most of it is pshat. It's very, very pshat oriented.
What do you mean not pshat? There's a class where you just lay in it.
You won't understand that. You can't even know what the words mean. Yeah.
Okay, when you're talking about like the idea of willful sin and this whole concept of like sinning for the sake of a mitzvah or something, like when they, for example, when they're translating everything, whatever the situation is, would that be considered as a willful sin even though they're doing it for something greater, like writing down a Mishnah or something like this? I don't know.
Those of you who are having two slices should really wash and make a mozi.
I've already
washed. Those of you who are having two slices should really wash.
How many do you want to pick
from? Whatever guys want to eat, they'll eat.
Oh, yeah, you get them
correctly. Okay, back to our Eicha.